This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Till I die. Hello, how are we all? Good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello. Welcome along. This is LTID TV from Leicester Till I Die. I do apologise for the tardiness and lateness of our arrival this evening. I'll give you one guess as to why we were late. Who was having problems with his hearing aid? Yes, it was, of course, our Dave. How else could it be? Hopefully, if he sticks a thumbs up, I know that it's all working at that end now. Yes, he's put his thumbs up, which is a bit unfortunate because we're just talking about Prince Andrew. He is a very, you know, famous man now, Dave. Kate has been on the BBC with Owen and Pipes. I've been on the BBC with Owen, but both of us have been absolutely blown out the water by Dave, who has met royalty this week. Yes, apparently he was taking pictures for Kate for Mother's Day. I don't know whether that's why there's all the fuss about it. He met the Duke of Edinburgh. And as I said earlier, I've met the Duke of York, but he was very much a depressive, because when he was up, he was up. And when he was down, he was down. Yes. That is the standard tonight. Don't expect it to get any better than that. That is it. I have set the level for tonight's show. And if you have got any questions, do get them in and we will share them with the panel. If it's not on topic, we may save it till the end, though. so that we're not sort of shooting all over the place. It's bad enough with Dave does that all the time. It really annoys Kathy because she's got to clean it up afterwards. But there we go. So tonight's topics are we bottling it? You know, I don't like that phrase, but are we? Are we bottling it? We may not be top next time we play in the league. FFP, apparently Kate was saying there's some new news about that, so she will be filling us in on that. And looking forward to the FA Cup quarterfinalist. Not bad, is it? Not bad at all. A quick few hellos. Scott is in. Hi, Scott. How are you doing? Welcome along. Well, you know, Scott, who knows? Who knows with Dave, you know? Douglas is in. Hello, Douglas. How are you? From the Hug Out Football Channel, welcome along. Kyle is in. Hello, Kyle. How are you? There's a few hurly hellos. And I will get my guests in. And that is, of course, the lovely and delectable Kate. Well, if she's the beauty, well, Dave makes up the beast, doesn't he?
Chris does it 3 hours a day.
Want to do it again?
5 days a week.
Oh, yes.
Just for you.
I love it.
On the Golden Breakfast Show.
This is Surrey Hills Radio.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die. Independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
Indeed. Oh, look at that. None of us are in the right position. There we go. Now we are. Everybody bear with Dave. He had to get up early this morning to do a breakfast show. Indeed. One that he normally did in 2 hours, but the more professional amongst us doing three to make it proper. And he felt he had to do that. Dave, how we doing, mate? Friends with the old Duke now, are we?
His Royal Highness, if you don't.
Oh, I apologise. One apologises to one, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Kate, welcome along. How are you? Got back all in one piece then?
Yes, just about. Yeah, all good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm not sure about Dave this evening, to be honest with you. I mean, when he's normal, he's bad enough, so God knows what he's going to be like tonight.
I've changed my mood lighting a little bit, see if that helps.
Well, what can I say?
His hair at the back as well is brilliant.
What?
Your hair's all sticking up at the back.
Oh, is it? Mm.
Did you not do your hair and makeup before you came on, Dave? Come on. I mean, oh, dear. Welcome along, all. If you can try to stay awake, Dave, that would be absolutely fantastic. I do feel that I have got to come between you two because, you know, the sexual tension here on a Monday night. Gusbury? Yeah, you. Mate, look. I don't know if I can. No, you can't see that because it's not me. I've got a fan there that I'm going to have to turn on in a minute. That's because I'm popular. That's why I'm sat next to a fan. Hello. How are you doing? Jokes aren't getting any better, really, are they?
No.
Lucky to get a point probably at the weekend, I think we can say. We may well have taken that before we kicked off, Kate. But I'm going to come to you first, Dave, because this is a term you like to use, and I argued with you. But are we bottling it?
I wouldn't say that on Saturday. I think we played a good side. You know, they've had some cracking results. So I wouldn't worry too much about that result. Are we bottling it? I think that happens time of year, isn't it? We've done so well all season that we're, you know, anything below that standard, we're starting to panic. So, no, I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so. I think that they know too much about the league and they know too much about each other now. I think they'll be fine.
Kate?
I hope.
No, I don't think we're bottling it. It was always going to happen for me. It's a bit like a 400-metre race, isn't it, where someone goes out the blocks really fast and then by the time the home straight comes round, everybody's levelling up and that's exactly what's happening. So we've had our blip just later on than everybody else. So I think we'd be naive to think that we wouldn't have a blip, but I thought it was a really hard-earned, well-won point on Saturday. Hull were a really good side. They played us at our own game a bit, very similar style of play to us, and we did well. We made a few mistakes. Obviously, the first goal wasn't great. We had a questionable referee, but again, it was a gutsy performance following on from the Sunderland match. We got really stuck in, and we had to grind it out.
I mean, I always said, Dave, didn't I, when is our blip going to come? It has, I think, finally come. All right, Leeds fans are enjoying life. I have more Leeds fans. They used to say this about Man United, but we are living rent-free at the moment in Leeds United fans' brains. We're not playing this weekend because we're still in the FA Cup. And in fairness to Leeds, they were unlucky against Chelsea. They put up a good fight, but Chelsea got the last-minute winner. But, Dave, I'm not sure who they've got coming up at the weekend, to be honest with you, but I think it's Millwall, isn't it, on the Sunday? So if they were to beat Millwall, and you would imagine that they would, they will go over above us. It's that psychological boost that it gives them, isn't it?
Well, anything will give them a boost, won't it? Because they haven't been top all year, have they? So, you know, it's no big deal, is it? They just played one more game than we have.
Do you not think, though, when they look at the table and when Leicester, and I'll throw this back the other way to you in a second, Kate, but do you not think that Leeds is a club that, right, now it's ours to lose?
No, not at all. No, I think... if we win our next game, we'll be above them. So I don't think it's a problem. I think they'll probably find it quite exciting. But, you know, we're used to it now. We're used to being up there. They've still got Ipswich to worry about. That's their biggest problem. I think we're fine.
At least I think they've still got one of the big boys to play as well. I'm not sure who it is, but I think they have Kate. The chances are when we next play in the league, we're not going to be top. But then it's up to Leeds to be looking over their shoulder, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the case. Yeah, I mean, we psychologically, I think it won't necessarily, I don't think it will necessarily impact. I don't want to be pessimistic about it, but it's certainly one that's going to make you turn your head a bit that we might not be top this weekend. But similarly, the pressure's on Leeds this week in the run-up to this Millwall match, that they've got the opportunity to go top. So the pressure's on them at the moment, if you know what I mean. Mm. I've just looked at their fixtures. They've got Southampton on the very last game of the season, which could be pretty crucial. I think for us, we've just got to get the job done and we've got to stop thinking about the title. I'm just bothered about where third place is, really. And that's what matters. I think that's what matters to me. If Leeds want to win it, Leeds can win it. I just want us to get automatic promotion spot.
You think who they played? I mean, they just scraped past Stoke at home, wasn't it? 1-0. They drew at Huddersfield. You know, you'd expect them to win that one as well. So Huddersfield away 1 point. Stoke at home scraped 3 points. And they weren't doing so good.
They won 2-0 against Sheffield Wednesday. No. On Saturday. By all accounts, Sheffield Wednesday played them off the park from what I've read.
They did. So that's three games where they've struggled. So, you know, they've got to be worried as well.
But do you think, when you look at us, let's forget the Southampton game and let's forget the Stoke game, because they were the big games for us, you know, score-wise. A lot of the time when we were top, we were only just scraping through. You know, it was a 1-0 here, Kate. It was a 2-1 there. So we were actually, yes, we were getting the 3 points, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. But we weren't Barcelona by any stretch of the imagination, even though, when we were 12 points ahead.
No, I think the only time I felt really sort of in our stride and that the wins were convincing wins was probably the first 10 or 12 games. I think we only lost one out of those first 12 games. And since then, it has been a real battle. We've had to earn it. Confidence helps, momentum helps, and we've got that bit of quality ahead of some of the other championship sides that helps with some of the squad rotation that we're able to do. But yeah, none of these games, I can't really remember a game where, you know, Stoke was an anomaly, but where I've thought, yeah, played them off the park, never even worried anyway through that 90 minutes and we've won easily. There's been none of those games, especially this calendar year, that I can even Ipswich, you know, we could have lost that game on Boxing Day. So I think people are just getting a bit carried away where they're saying, oh, we've messed up the 12-point gap. We haven't. That's showing quite a lot of disrespect to the competitors that we've got. Ipswich have been relentless. They'll probably be a bit annoyed that Leeds and Leicester have taken their headlines a little bit. And Leeds are a really good outfit. I think we all called that at the start of the season. Their front five is absolutely superb. So we're just having our moment where we have wobbled, and this will show what the guys are really made of. But it's not been easy by any stretch. It's just not.
No, and we've scored as many goals as Ipswich have in the league. And our goal difference is better than anybody's. Okay, I think it's only a couple from Leeds, isn't it, or something like that.
Leeds have just had a great 2024. I was looking at this today. I don't think Leeds have conceded in open play this calendar year. Which is unbelievable.
They've got a manager in Daniel Farke who knows how to get out of this division. You know, when it comes to, you know, comparing, you know, Daniel Farke to Enzo, he's got so much more experience.
He knows how to get back in as well, doesn't he?
Sorry, say that again.
He knows how to get back in the division as well.
Yes. Doesn't necessarily, he knows how to come back down out of it, but he has got that experience that, in fairness to Enzo, he still hasn't. Say hi to Nippon there. He's not been in for a while, but we've got Chelsea, obviously, next week. So he's a big Chelsea fan. Welcome along, Nippon. Hope you are well.
He's good to do his homework on the opposition.
I know, he's key. Yeah, he's seeing what we're up to. We're doing with Chelsea Fancast. It's a bit later than normal on Thursday, an 8:30 start for a preview on the Chelsea game. So stick with us for that. As John says there, Dave, top two is all that matters. And I mean, I've said now, probably for the last month, 6 weeks, whoever finishes above Leeds will get promoted.
Yeah, no doubt. And that'll be us. So it's all good. I just feel a bit for the Southampton fans, I must say. They were going brilliant, weren't they? And you knew it was going to end, and it did. Ipswich kind of bounced back a bit sooner than I expected. So I thought Ipswich would have been out of it by now and just in the playoffs. But, I mean, they're putting up a good fist for it. So I think Leeds need to worry about them, not worry about us. They should see it the same way, top two.
When you come to think, between those top four teams, Kate, Leicester, Leeds, Ipswich, Southampton, there is 9 points. 9 games to go, 9 points between us. I had literally done all the maths at the weekend, but I haven't redone it since the weekend's games as to who needs what. So it is really fifth and sixth that's being played for. You'd think West Brom pretty much would probably be in there, but then it's anybody from sort of 10th upwards.
Yeah.
I'm just worried. I mean, yes, top two is all that matters. Yes, I want to win it, as I've said many, many times. Yes, I want to get the record. But as long, you know, if we don't, but we finish second and we're straight back up, that is all that matters. Somebody said the other day on one of the shows, I can't remember which one it was. I'll ask you both this, but I'll stick with you first, Kate. If we don't go up and we end up in the playoffs, and then we lose the playoffs, he was suggesting Enzo should go. Now, I don't think he should. Whether he would then get poached, I don't know. But what about Leicester's decision? I don't think he should go if that happens.
No, me neither. I'm not in the business of selling managers, of sacking managers. We've had an amazing season. When you think about the changes that took place at the club, we've lost some of our prized assets. And the ones that we've signed aren't world-class players. They've been really good signings, some really good loan signings and some really good players that Enzo has brought out of the academy. But Enzo's done a bit of a miracle job in terms of looking at people like Ndidi, bringing McAteer through, Ben Nelson's got a start, Hamza, for all that I say Hamza still isn't anything on Ricardo, Hamza has turned into a really positive, progressive footballer. He's not where I would want him to be when we compare him to Ricardo. But Enzo has been able to really put his arm around some of these players who must have been in a pretty bad state after Brendan left and after the end of last season. And he's been able to turn them around and have belief in themselves again. So that's what you want from a manager. And sometimes you do make mistakes. I don't think he would have had the January that he wanted. And that's obviously due to the club constraints, not his. So I'm just not in the business of it. I don't think it ever gets you anywhere. And we're just so impatient and impulsive as football fans now that that seems to be the norm. But I don't like it. And I don't want to pay him off for however many years he's got on his contract. And then that impacts our FFP again. Like he signed a contract and he's doing good. He's doing good.
Yeah. Dave, could you see him going if we don't go up?
No. Just look at Watford.
I was just looking to see the exact details, but is it today or yesterday they sacked their manager?
Yesterday, I think, wasn't it? Yesterday.
Yeah. Although I believe he did get a gold watch for a long service award, but yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that is staggering, isn't it? Where's it got them? 24 managers in 10 years or 20 managers in 8 years?
Yeah, someone said like they've had more managers in the last decade than there has been Dalai Lamas since the 16th century.
they probably have more managers than they got points.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have had a bet on the Dalai Lama being the next Watford manager if I'd been a Tibetan man.
Very true.
If I'd been a Tibetan man.
Yeah. Thank
you. Can I just say, blame Gary Delaney for that, not me. Yeah. Always Gary Delaney's.
I think when it's time for a manager to go. We knew last Christmas it was time for Brendan to go. We knew that because you could tell by the players, you could see what was going on. Now the players are with him. I mean, they did fight. You were there, Kate, I don't know, but the bits I saw, they looked good at times. Yeah, terrible defensive error, but we do it. I mean, Wout Faes has bothered me for months now with his casual attitude. I don't know what it is about him. I mean, I like the guy, but he's not got that bite anymore. He's got that laid-back attitude as if I'm too good for this place. I could be wrong, I hope so, but it's just the way he comes across, and he bothers me. And I don't know. I thought that was a game we needed Cody in. I assume he was fit.
Yeah, I did. But like even KDH, looked a bit of a shadow of himself last year. Enzo's turned him around, which made him the best player in the championship. So Enzo, for me, is a really good man manager, and that's exactly what we need, really. And you can't underestimate or disrespect the opposition. Ipswich and Leeds and Southampton, they went on a 26 unbeaten run. That's over half the season on the trot unbeaten. Like we've got record breaking competitors this year. Typical Leicester, we go down, the year we're in the championship, there's three others that are on target to break the record. So you've got to get things in perspective a bit and you're careful what you wish for.
Did Faes play well or not? Sorry, Chris.
I thought he was a bit with the error, and I'm the same as you, Chris, Dave. There's just an element of fast that's a bit casual at times. Vestergaard reminds me a bit of Huth. You know, like Huth wasn't pacey, but he knew his limitations, and he always made sure. If he's not sure, he'll kick it out for a throw-in. If he feels like he's back, he won't take a risk. I feel like fast takes a risk, like he tried to sidestep the player and he didn't take the ball with him, and he's just a bit casual, and I don't think Cody or Vestergaard are making that error.
No.
But we all make errors, and maybe he'll learn from it and actually sharpen up and realise that actually Hull were a really good outfit and they took full advantage of that.
Everybody's entitled to a bad game every now and again, you know. Let's put it into perspective that I've obviously asked the question, I've got to, but we have only lost seven. this season. So, you know, we would have taken that last season, wouldn't we? Terry just said it was Locks on another LCFC channel that said about the sack. Well, in fairness, I know Locks. There's no not hiding from the fact that I don't like him. I think he's very immature and up his own arse a lot. And he's only in his mid-20s, so you know maybe that's why.
Me and Dave were only in our late 20s.
Sorry?
Yeah.
We were only in our late 20s.
Yeah. What's your problem with like? 20s. What's your problem with 20-year-olds?
20-year-olds. And the rest.
Or did you mean 20 stone?
I did. Yeah. When it's Dave's birthday, Kathy has to have the fire brigade on standby for when they light the cake. not be silly. But yes, he is a bit, he's definitely up there when it comes to being up your own arse. And he once said to me, and like I said, I think when you are younger, you forget the bad times, or you don't even remember the bad times that we had.
Being realistic. You've got to be realistic. Who's coming in? What do they then need? Then you need to give them a couple of transfer windows. Like, you can't keep reinventing the wheel every time. It costs so much money to do it. Yeah. And Enzo hasn't messed up. He's done excellently.
And all this, do you remember when we were talking about if Rodgers goes, we're going to get Pochettino? Everybody wanted Pochettino. Would he come to Leicester, really, realistically? You know, I don't know.
Enzo's not making that pass error. Enzo's not missing that Daka chance. Enzo's not the referee that didn't give the KDH penalty at Ipswich. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot that goes into the results. It's not just the manager.
And look, you know, he's been with us 7 months. You know, it's like when we played Bournemouth last season. They'd just been stuffed 9-0 by Liverpool. They'd got a caretaker manager that had only been a manager for like 5 days up against the super coach that was Brent. I don't know why I'm doing that. You can't see me doing my fingers, which is probably just as well. But you'd got this experienced coach against this guy that'd been there 5 days, and Brendan was out for, you know. And we've got to remember that, like with Daniel Farke, he's got that experience.
Who are you speaking to there, me?
I don't think Dave's with us, is he? We've lost Dave again. He's muted himself.
He's got his different headphones in.
He's on the phone. I think he's on the phone.
No, I'm not.
Oh. You did say you'd be a minute, and then you went off and...
Yeah, well, I swapped my head bits because I don't know what.
Can I just say, you're just as ugly as you were before, so it hasn't worked.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Oh, Mr. Potato Head. Swapped his head bits.
Oh, that's going to stick now, Mr. Potato Head.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
I don't have to be, you know. I got offered a spot on the BBC tonight.
Oh, it's all royalty now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they said we're going to have that Kate, but she's not met His Royal Highness, so.
His Royal Highness, HRH, Dave.
A couple of days ago, I think it possibly was the Chelsea guy, and arranging the show, and you know, we were talking about Vardy, and talking about Vardy, that leads me very nicely into, if you haven't checked it out yet, get over to the bbc.co.uk/sport/football/teams/Leicester City. Or you could just go bbc.co.uk/Leicester City. And today's excellent piece, and I have to say it is excellent. I know the guy that wrote this, and he's an intelligent, good-looking human being. And the piece that he's written is "Write Vardy Off at Your Peril as Big Summer Decision Looms." And I basically said that, like, you know, we keep thinking Vardy's had it, he's not, you know, and he comes on and scores us 2 goals. At the end of the season, his contract's out. If we go up, 140 grand a week, allegedly, he's on, Kate, can we afford to keep him with this FFP overruling us. And that leads us also very nicely onto the second subject, which is FFP.
I would definitely re-sign Vardy for another year, but I would massively caveat his contract on a pay-per-play basis, bonus basis, etc. I would make his salary lower. And if he's prepared to do that and both sides think that we can get something out of him next year, then absolutely. The difference with the guy, it's quite odd that really the attitude and tenacity and aggression that he brings to the team is quite odd for me that out of 11 players, he's the only one who has that aggression. But he does seem to be the only one who has that aggression, like he'll headbutt you for a throw-in. That's the kind of attitude Vardy's got. He's winding up the crowd. He's constantly in the defenders' ears. Some of the players these days, I think the younger generation are too nice. And you just got to get under their skin. And Vardy does that, whether he has a crap game or not. He really gets under their skin. And his motivation is just, yeah, second to none, really.
You all right there, Dave? Are you picking your best favourite music?
Can I phone you back, Rossi?
Hello.
Sorry, he has the palace on the phone.
Oh, Prince Andrew wants to meet you this time, does he?
He's in his memoirs next week, Dave will.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. They want to know if I've started the book. Right, it won't happen again.
I can tell you where to put the book.
Are you
with us, Dave?
I'm sorry.
Is one with us there?
I can't believe it. And Kate was talking as well. That's my worst nightmare.
Bloody rude. You time that.
I did say to Kate earlier, of course, because she told me off for being early today. And
well, that's not unusual.
No, it's not. I voted yesterday in the general election. The people that turned up, the people said, it's not happening yet. I said, well, it is. I'm here ready to vote. They said, no, you must be suffering with premature election. Anyway. This is what the crowd wants.
Definitely some kind of dysfunction, for sure.
I mean, would he take that? I mean, look, let's look at the offers. He could go to America possibly and play. He could go to Saudi and, you know, remember when he's got allegedly Rebecca's court fees to pay off. But, you know, he could go to Saudi, he could go to there, he could even go to Sheffield Wednesday for one season and play for his boyhood club. So would he take a pay as you play contract, Dave?
I wouldn't. Certainly not on that basis. No, I don't know whether I'd also think, I'd have to think very carefully about whether I wanted another half season in the Premier League or whether I wanted to do the Sheffield Wednesday thing or whether I wanted to go to America. I think his loyalty is obviously with Leicester. I mean, he could have gone to any club 5 years ago. Or even before that, and he didn't. He chose to stay with us. As he said, why would he move? I think if he wants to stay, I think we bite the bullet.
Yeah,
you know, and keep him on a similar contract. And I know Kate's saying she's right, of course, but, you know, I think for what Vardy's done for us, we've tended not to look after old servants in the past. And I'm talking over decades.
You're not that old, Dave.
But we've
one half servants now does one.
Well, one.
Is that what you call it, Kate?
Yeah, thank you.
Ding-a-ding-a-dong.
What the hell was I on about? I don't know what I'm on about. Jeeves, what was I on about? Oh, yes, thank you, my man. So we tend not to look after them so much, and I just think Vardy, we make an exception because he's done so much when he didn't have to. I think for all the money we've wasted over the years, I think this money wouldn't be wasted, even behind the scenes. I don't think he's as fiery with the players as Schmeichel would have been, which was a big mistake we need to learn from. Wes Morgan's not been as involved as I thought he might be with the club, as far as the first team, and that's a concern, which I understand. But, you know, we've got to use these assets, and Vardy's a big asset. Even, as, I mean, I didn't agree with it at the time, but just coming on with 10, 15 minutes to go, you know, to see Vardy warming up and getting changed, the defenders are going to think, wow, what's going on here?
The thing is, Kate.
So, yeah.
It also, Kate, guess if it's I know you said Filbert Street then, if it's at the King Power and he's warming up, it's just going to get the crowd going, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got a real presence. He's got a real presence for us, and you just never know when he's going to show off some of his magic. So for me, I think if Premier League's on the table and if we want it, I think Vardy will want it, because I think he'll want to try and get a few more goals. I think he's a handful off RVP's record as well, goal scoring record for the Premier League. I just think he might feel there's some unfinished business. And I think we've said before, you're a long time retired, you never get it back. And because he was a late starter and a late entrant into the Premier League as well, I think he'll be very reluctant to let it go until he absolutely has to do.
Players can play on, can't they? I mean, look, I mean, I said, you know, if this is what he can do when he doesn't train all bloody week, just get him in the club on Saturdays and Sundays. Yeah. All we need. I mean, Dave, how can you not train all week and then still? I mean, it's probably his Red Bull vodka mixes, isn't it? But I did put at the end of my piece here, I'll have a pint of what he's drinking, please. But then I thought, it's going to be vodka Red Bull. But obviously, other drinks are available. But you just think he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. And Enzo said it's all about managing him, and it'll be the same if we go up into the Premier League.
Yeah, I think so. And he's still quick. At least it looks quick to me. But then anybody does. But, you know, I mean, he's still got it, hasn't he? He still knows where to go. He still gets the game. The players know where he's going to be. And we've not, I don't think, I mean, he's scored a lot of goals, but we've not really seen him at his, I say, full potential. But, you know, we've not seen what he can do, really, on a regular basis. And apart from the fact it would be a sad moment when he does retire, I think he's still got stuff to offer now. I wasn't sure at the beginning of the season, but he was injured. But if he can stay fit, you know, we need him. I mean, Dak has disappointed me more than now. I don't know what he was like when he came on, Kate, but, you know, I think he missed a chance, didn't he? I mean, his confidence is so low, and it's not going to help him.
Dave, I'm sorry, I had this discussion with somebody on the watch along on Saturday. He's still one of our top goal scorers.
He had a good run, didn't he?
His length of time without a goal is probably no longer than Vardy's was.
Yeah, I think it's the chances, not the goals. I think the chances that Dak has had, Vardy would have popped away. And I think I think so. And I think that's his problem. A striker needs to be confident. You miss a couple like that, especially after the Leeds game, which must have destroyed all their confidence for about an hour or two. And, you know, you do that and it sticks in your mind when a chance comes to you. And that's what striking is.
We're not going to be covering that topic. That is a minefield for facilitators. So we're not going to be touching that topic. Kate, I mean, he always looks to be happy, smiling, doesn't seem to be short of confidence. I mean, literally, he came on in the 86th minute. I mean, he didn't have a lot of time to impress, did he?
No, but there was 10 minutes of injury time there as well. I wasn't particularly impressed with him. I'm not Dak's biggest fan. I'm not really sure why we're not using Cannon a bit more. I find Dak quite wasteful, and I find that he chased his shadows. What happens to me is Vardy was given a certain level of aggression, of pressing, of tenacity, and you never ever get the same from Dak. I know he's a different player, but I just feel he chased his shadows. His positioning isn't that great. And it was quite a good chance that he scuffed. I'm not saying that anybody else on the team maybe would have or wouldn't have scored it, but I'm not sure they're scuffing it out 10 yards wide of the goal. I'm just not his biggest fan. I personally think it's a personality thing in that I don't think Daka wants it enough. I'm not saying he doesn't care, but like I've said, Vardy will headbutt you for a throw-in and Daka's the one that's apologising because he stood on your toe. And it's that kind of niceness and polite that sometimes can hold you back as a striker when you've just got to beat your man and get there. Come hell or high water, you've just got to get there.
I think Gary Neville said it about Vardy, didn't he, last year or the year before? Vardy's got to get nasty again. He wasn't nasty enough.
And he has, I've seen John's comment there. He has missed some sitters as well this season. Vardy, there was one only a couple of games ago where it pinged straight over the bar from about 2 yards out. And Daka would have got, you know, dog's abuse for that. But I just, he doesn't bring...
We can't criticise Vardy, can we? He's our golden child. Far be it from anybody to have anything to say if Vardy misses a chance.
But Vardy's done it, Daka hasn't.
Yeah, that's but Vardy's difference. Been with us a lot longer. I would hope he's done it. You know, he's been with us how many seasons now?
I think we all know that we can't quite put our finger on what it is about Daka, but I think Nacho also has it.
Nacho had it because he was only getting 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there for a long, long time. I mean, at the end of the day, Jamie Vardy scored 15 goals this season. He's got one assist. Daka's 7 goals and 4 assists. He is our fourth top scoring player this season. He's got more goals than Iheanacho, McAteer, Fatawu. And I just think, you know, when you can't compare anybody to Jamie Vardy. You know, it's like who would be the manager that wants to follow Sir Alex Ferguson? No, because you're always getting compared to Sir Alex Ferguson. Nobody's going to die for the club like Jamie Vardy is. We know that, and we've got to be fair to these other players. You know, they're not whoever comes in and replaces Jamie. It's like we've only just now. When did we sell Mahrez? Was it 6 seasons ago?
Yeah.
And they've only just now accepted that we've actually got somebody in that's going to do a fair job. Every other player, how were they as bad as we thought, or were they just bad? Because, oh, he's not a Mahrez. Oh, he doesn't Mahrez.
They weren't managed. That's important.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, I do.
Vardy and Mahrez are world-class players, and it's very unusual that Leicester get world-class players.
Yeah. They had something.
The difference is, they've got that attitude. Mahrez didn't have it the first season. It took him a season to settle in.
Well, it took Vardy's season to settle in. Well, he was going to nip off to Spain and be a Club 1830 rep.
Yeah, true. Fatawu's slightly disappointing, but, you know, they can't play well every game, as you said. But because we're all panicking a little bit because we're not winning every game, we're now looking for scapegoats.
I was about to say that exact same word, Dave. That is a bit... We are seeing each other too much because our minds... You know, like when you get a load of women working together...
Told you not to say anything.
Periods match up, don't they? It's like that with me and Dave now.
It's not true, Kate. Not true.
Yeah, so
I think the issue is that without Vardy, we still don't have an answer. We don't even have a Nugent. We don't even have an Andy King.
And I don't think that will happen until Vardy goes.
Yeah.
Because while he's at the club, you've got the spectre of Jamie Vardy. Oh, we should have brought Jamie Vardy on. You know, we had Boris, who I've kicked out the group now, but all he ever said was, Boris would have got that. Boris will come, not Boris, Vardy would have got
that. He probably would have done.
Yeah, Vardy will come on, you know, with 4 minutes left and score a hat-trick, you know, and it's like, we're always getting that. We Leicester fans seem to need a scapegoat. Ben Chilwell was England's left-back, but he wasn't good enough for Leicester.
I didn't get that at all, I'm sorry. You know, I never got that.
We've got to have a scapegoat that we want to pick on all the time. Barnes, one season with Harvey Barnes, he never shoots. And then the next season, he was shooting a lot and getting a lot of goals. Well, he never passes. You know, it's like Leicester fans we're only happy if we've got something to moan about.
Mavadidi's the next one, of course, because he's gone off the boil, hasn't he? I mean, he but then he was so exceptional the early part of the season.
He gets How loaded he up well, to be honest, as well. He gets a couple on him each game at the minute.
He does. But I mean, hey, he's still the same player.
I want to move on to FFP because you read something about FFP earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, so the breaking news from Sky was that they're going to be bringing in the Football Premier League financial fair play stuff in line with UEFA, which is, I think, it sounds, when I've just looked at the clip, then it's like it's on a squad ratio system. So a squad ratio system is where you're allowed to spend up to an agreed percentage, maybe even up to 85% of your revenues on wages and transfers. So that's potentially something that they're going to be looking at. And Premier League clubs, there's a Premier League meeting today, I think, from what they said in Sky's sensational way of announcing things. There's a Premier League meeting today that's discussing this. And if things are going to change, which will need 14 clubs to agree it, then they want it to come in as soon as possible, maybe even in the summer. So that could mean that rules change, but obviously nothing's in place yet. It's still as it was and as you were for the rules that could affect us and Everton and Forest, but it would potentially change that kind of thing. But again, it still tilts towards the preservation of the status quo. If you can only spend 85% of your revenue on transfers and wages, then that still means that the smaller clubs or the lower revenue clubs can't go to town with the big boys on transfers and wages to try and get players. So it still massively backs the preservation of the status quo, which to me is anti-sport. So, yeah, there's a bit of development there, but it sounds to me like the Premier League are starting to, as we probably all are, think that actually this FFP isn't fair and give it a couple more years and you're probably going to have over half the Premier League on a points deduction, which is just ridiculous. But the other thing that came out of it as well was that the money generated by the Premier League, which was the catalyst for this discussion, money is generated by the Premier League. They want more monies to go down to the EFL. But the Premier League have said, actually, we don't want to give any more monies to other leagues if it's going to be to our detriment and cost us in FFP because we've given money elsewhere. So that I think, was the catalyst for these further discussions about whether the existing FFP rules are fit for purpose.
Very, very good coverage there, Kate. I mean, what? Now, look, you know, from what you told me you do earlier, you can understand all these legal documents and everything.
Not really.
This mean, would this make any difference to us, if you like, if this is brought in with us, you know, facing this points deduction? Which that's just the headline on the Mercury there.
Yeah, it just depends how they treat the legacy charges.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Legacy charges are, do you know what, we've got to stick with the rules in the year that they were in place, then it will still hit us. But if it's going to be changed to stop clubs unnecessarily who haven't actually done that much to jeopardise their stock. Remember, FFP was brought in to stop clubs shafting themselves, to stop them going insolvent, to stop them owing millions and millions to the revenue or not paying staff. Leicester are nowhere near that. Everton are nowhere near that. So they've just got to make sure the rules are fit for purpose. So it depends how they want the transition to happen. If it's just from 24-25, then we'll still get stung. Or if it's, you know what, just scrap everything, which might well happen only because they can then let Man City off the hook, which I think may be our only saving grace, because nobody can clearly be asked to go through 115 charges of legal documents and then probably 115 appeals.
Would we have been better, Dave, just to have said to clubs like Man City and all them lot, just bugger off and play in the European League?
No, not really. Because without the Football League, I don't really class the Premier League as a different institution. I know it is, but to me, it's all football. It's all the Football League. And they're not equal. They never have been. You go back to the days when you couldn't get promoted from non-league football because the general meeting of the Division 4 clubs wouldn't let them.
Do you remember Workington Town?
I do indeed, yeah.
They used to finish bottom for like 10 years and every time they got voted to stay up.
And you had teams like Wimbledon who finished top of the Southern League every year and they never got voted in. So it's never been equal. But I think from what Kate said, what that will do now is just mean that Luton, Coventry, teams like that will never, ever be able to do anything in the Premier League. And Sheffield United, you know, it'll all be up and down. Burnley, small club. You know, why shouldn't they have the same rights as everybody else? They've reached the Premier League. They should be there. But it's not going to happen. And if we get rid of these big clubs, we'll end up like Scotland. You know, because
we're not like Scotland anyway, Dave. I mean,
no,
nobody's ever going to do a Leicester again. And we know. It's going to be one of the top six, well, not Chelsea, but it's usually 9.9 times out of 10, it's going to be one of the big six that win the Premier League. So we're there anyway, aren't we?
Nah, nobody's going to do Leicester 10 years ago, but we did. Why couldn't it happen again?
Because they've priced us out of the market, haven't they? They said when that happened, this isn't going to happen again, and they've pretty much made sure.
I'd be interested to see what sort of sums were being spent in the day we won the league. Bearing in mind, we bought Mahrez for 400,000, and a few others around the same price. I'd be interested to see what the top salary transfer was. Ferguson was in charge. No, he wasn't, was he? He'd gone by then. But, you know, Man United were still paying big money for players then.
But do you not think, Dave, as Terry says there, it is like Scotland now. You know that Scotland is going to be one of two. But in England, it's going to be one of six. So if those six go and bugger off and play, you know, the big boys every week, then it gives other clubs the chance
And you know what? A secondary league?
Premier League.
Well, only in name, isn't it? I mean, you think it's always been... How many teams outside the top six or whatever you want to call them have ever won the league? But maybe us, Blackburn and Villa in its history. Villa won it in 72.
That was in the Premier League though, was it?
No, well, whatever it was, it doesn't matter, it's still the top division. But you know, okay, so let's say Blackburn then and Leicester are the only two sides outside of the main group that have won it. So it's never changed in its history. But what it means is there is a possibility that clubs like Villa, Leicester, even Palace, when they were any good, could sneak into that top six, maybe go for the top four, just maybe. If the top sides go and form European League, we'll probably get one team in the Champions League. We might get two or three teams in the UEFA League or whatever it's going to be called. And, you know, that'll be it. FA Cup winners, League Cup winners won't even get a sniff into Europe.
I mean, if we don't, first of all, I mean, before I come on to UK and I'm just get your thoughts on this, since it's been the Premier League, we know apart from Blackburn Rovers and Leicester, it's been nobody else. Before that, Leeds won it because, of course, they won it the last time before it became the Premier League. Everton won it 86-87, Villa won it 80-81. Forest, of course, won it 77-78. Derby County have won it twice. Everton again.
That seems like Preston. Didn't Preston dominate for a while?
Well, it depends. Yeah, it depends. 61-62, it was Ipswich, you know. So you, Wolverhampton, you know, there's some. Again, it's how far do we go back, sort of thing. And I totally do get what Dave is saying. But look, you know, if we keep those clubs in, we are Scotland. We are Scotland Mark II. We are Germany. You know, okay, they've got a club that's going to be doing a Leicester this season. I bet it won't happen again for a while. Spain is always one of two clubs. That is us at the moment.
Holland always has been two clubs. Not so much now, but always was. Yeah. So it happens all around the world.
It does. It does.
The only way of stopping that is to have a wage cap and a transfer cap.
Yeah. Yeah, just like normal fantasy football, you have 100 million quid to spend.
Yeah.
Each or whatever it is, whatever the figure is, like it, the sport is all about being able to work your way up the food chain, whether that's winning your League Two, League Four, Conference League, whatever it is. It's being able to have the opportunity to win and do a Leicester. And if you take that power away, which is all but gone, really, it's really damaging for sport in general to not be able to just compete. And it's not what we go to football matches for. I mean, yesterday I could have told you it would be a bore draw between Liverpool and Man City, and it was a decent game of football. But
I think the draw was because of the Liverpool goalkeeper had a rush of blood to his head. in fairness, but no, we are Scotland, aren't we? You know, I can tell you now, you know, for the next five Premier League seasons, which six teams are going to be in there competing to win it. And it ain't going to be Villa, it ain't going to be Leicester, you know, it isn't even going to be Tottenham, I would not imagine. It is Scotland in all but name. So when you get promoted, you know, we know if we get promoted, we are not going to be the Leicester that was there before, where we finished fifth and what have you. We tried that. We may have got ourselves into financial difficulty by pushing to get it, but you know, when you get promoted, for the likes of Luton, Burnley, and even Leicester, our goal next season, if we go up, is going to be to stay up.
Yeah, I think
it's
that's
going to be like we're a bit like back with the Martin O'Neill days. All I wanted at the start of every season was to finish fourth from bottom.
Yeah, I think that's the target pretty much for most Premier League promoted teams' first three seasons. You know, Villa stayed up by the absolute seam of their shit refereeing pants a couple of seasons ago because a goal got ruled in goal on the last game of the season and Sheffield United went down. So it's those turns of luck, and Villa would have been relegated and should have been relegated. So you want to get two or three seasons out of the way, which we had done. We had done our work and got those out of the way. So that's going to be the ultimate target. But I feel each time the Premier League comes around each season, it's a different beast again. You know, we're in this situation now where Chelsea are in the bottom half of the league, and I can't see them really working their way up into the top six for a while. Their moment in the sun has passed for the time being, but they do have significant financial backing. But there's probably a big fine or penalty looming over their heads, like it could be Leicester. So, but the Premier League is different. I think 12th to 20th, it's a league of its own, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, Dave Scott says there, if we have wage caps or transfer caps, we're not going like American sports franchises rather than other clubs. Personally, I don't think so. What I would like to see, and it can't be that difficult, you get a set of accountants in a room. Surely they can do it within a day. And that's to sit down and go, right, last season, how much money did let's say Chelsea make? So they made that much money. Right. That is how much are they spending on wages, etc. So you've got the incomings and outgoings, which any business should know, and say, right, well, in that case, this is what you can spend. Now, obviously, yes, it will allow the bigger clubs to spend more, unfortunately, but we've got to accept that Manchester United have a lot bigger fan base than Leicester will ever have. You know, they are worldwide, we are Far East, if you like, but, you know, surely that, every club would then know how much they could spend, and they can go out and buy players that will fit into their financial plan. And surely that's the answer.
I really don't know what the answer is. I think answer to Scott is that I think we are a franchise league. We've got so many foreign owners, so many organisations owning clubs. It went a bit that way with, who was it that West Ham went to Manchester United as a company almost? Can't remember his name now. Then he went to Man City, didn't he? Was it Argentinian guy or Brazilian or something? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I think we are as good as a franchise because there's sort of companies that own, it's not the people that own the clubs, it's the companies. And you've seen that, how many companies own different clubs. I mean, it's got that way. It's a set of franchise. So
to compete, I guess, these days.
Well, yeah, because no individuals can really afford that sort of money. But
the problem is as well with FFP, I only found out this out last week, is that you are limited about how much equity you can put into a club. So Top can only put a certain amount in, which is just a bit odd, really.
What, just for players or for... Oh, Kate's gone mute now.
Kate's muted. You've scared her off, Dave. But you know, it's like when I sort of used to manage agencies, travel agencies. I knew at the start of the year what my budget would be for advertising, what I could spend, because they knew how much I was currently paying for my branch for staff wages, mine included, rent and rates and all that. How much we would, you know, we brought in. That. Oh, who's that? Is that you?
I don't know.
So then they said, right, you can spend. She nipped to the loo. That's what it was. I know that cool. Noise. I think she was probably her farting. So yeah, just saying, Kate, and I'll let Dave answer. Then I'll get your thoughts on it. When I manage a shop, I would know sort of at the end of the year how much I'd brought in. And then for the following year, therefore, I knew what I'd have to bring in because I knew what my rates were going to be, what my staff costs were going to be. So I knew that if anybody left and I had to replace them, how much I could offer. It was run, believe it or not, a business was being run as a business. You know, I would be given a certain amount for advertising. Now, as a manager, I was responsible. Do I spend all that in one big bump or do I do it on this? How do I spread it out? But then again, it was on me whether that shop failed or was successful. Why can't we do that with football clubs? Surely if a football club knows at the start of the season that it's only got so much to spend, and it would stop other clubs holding clubs to financial, blackmail. But it could be done, Dave, couldn't it?
Well, not now, no, because the figures that these clubs are losing, the money they're losing is just phenomenal. You know, if for a club to stop losing money, I mean, what Villa announced their accounts last week, was it? Their losses. They'd have to sell off their players and probably their ground as well. So how they pick that back up into being a viable business, I can't see it. So they have to bring these rules in. As Kate said, the idea was to stop them going bust. But it's not. It's been twisted into something else now because nobody really understands. Well, I don't understand the fair play rules. And
your thought on what I said, Kate?
Yeah, I think I completely agree that football should be run as a business. I just think the horse has bolted. There's a couple of issues for that. First one is that Manchester City and Chelsea in particular, Man United were a bit different because they're global fan base is massive and the money that they generate was a lot bigger and has been for many years. But Man City and Chelsea are the relative new money into football, and all of these rules were brought in after Chelsea and Man City washed the cash through that club, washed millions and millions of pounds through that club. So they had such an elevated starting point compared to the rest of clubs like Leicester. So that's part of the problem. But the second part of the problem with FFP is what I was just saying before I had to go, is that Top is only allowed to put a certain amount of equity into Leicester. He is restricted on the amount of cash he can inject into the club. Why? You're not restricted in any other business. If you want to pump £10 into your business to get it going, or you want to pump £10 million into your business to get it going, that is entirely your decision. So again, that's stopping and preserving the effort, the status quo of the top six. Why can't Top put £1 billion into Leicester if he wants to get them up? But that's basically what Wrexham are doing at the moment. Wrexham are going to be pumping money into that club. So you're not kind of, it's not a level playing field, and it's not being ran like a shop, because you're not allowed to do X amount of directors loans or just general equity conversions like Top's done. You're limited, but it the horse has bolted. The limitations should have come before Man City and Chelsea washed the cash through the club. And it's just a bit late now. It's just a bit late. That's the problem.
And I think your point about sort of Man City can do more than Leicester, but then Leicester can do more probably than Plymouth, because we've got richer owners. We can do more than Rochdale. Certainly.
Absolutely. But the problem is that poor old Rochdale can never do better than Leicester. Even if their owner wants to put money in, they can't. So how is that fair? Why is that right? If you want to put loads of money into an asset you own, fair play to you.
I think the problem's been, Kate, in the past, is that the wrong owners have done it.
Yeah.
As you say, the money laundering that's gone on with Chelsea, Man United to a degree, you know, it's just unacceptable.
And the problem with business, like with a normal business and in a different industry, you can perhaps forecast and project a bit more accurately because you know your customer base, etc., etc. Whereas with us in particular, in 22-23 season, we would never ever have forecasted us getting relegated. So the problem with forecasting and planning spending within a football league is you don't know where you're going to finish. And what implication that's going to have, and what players get injured, or what players you might lose. Like, it's such a moving piece all the time.
So why should you get fined for getting relegated then and spending the same sort of money if you budgeted for it? What's the difference?
What's the difference?
And I thought that the idea of why we didn't spend any money until we sold Fofana, that window, was to fit in with financial fair play rules. So I'm completely gone.
I've seen people throw about, you know, why did we build Seagrave if we're in this kind of problem? But club infrastructure is excluded from FFP rules, so Seagrave would have been excluded.
Yeah. And that's why I don't understand why we haven't stuck 10,000 on the stadium like we were going to. And why we haven't developed outside the ground.
I don't think we would in the Championship, would we?
Why not? Why not?
That ground's not full every week. So, you know, why build more when we can't fill it? Now, if we don't go up, we're stuck with a ground that we couldn't fill before, so we can't fill now.
You say that, Chris, but there's always around the 30,000 plus there.
There's always tickets for sale, so we're not filling it. So if I want a ticket, I'm not a season ticket holder anymore. I used to be. I'm a Fox member, and I get offered tickets literally week in, week out.
Yeah, that's the difference. But you take them. A lot of people that live there would take them. In the old days when we were in the Premier, you didn't get offered them.
No, because when we get back to the Premier, we'll be filling the stadium again, and then it's going to be worth building. But if we spend all those millions building an extension and we don't go up, it's like building the KP or Walkers, as was then, wasn't getting relegated the same season. You know, it's a case of, for me anyway, yes, but let's get up to the Premier League. Let's make sure we get up to the Premier League. Then let's make sure we're staying up before we spend more money.
Then you're putting it back another 5 years and we'll be back.
Yeah, but at least we're not going bust then. Why? It's like building a hotel and then having nobody come to it.
That comes down to the marketing and the management.
But
it's a tricky one. I grant you that. It's a tricky one.
If we fill the stadium now in this division and we don't go up, where are we going to get these other 8,000 fans from to fill
that? Well, I've obviously misread that, because I thought we were getting decent crowd, 30,000+ crowds.
Well, no, we are getting about 30, but the stadium holds 32.
There are
some games where we sell out, but I think a lot, there's a couple of thousands there. Which is still
probably all I can say is I'm always getting offered tickets.
That could also be price point, because a lot of the tickets that are left may be the more expensive ones, and that might be different. And also, I hope the stadium expansion holds off for as long as possible, because I think I'm going to lose my seat.
Oh, it's all about me with Kate, isn't it?
I know.
You can have my seat, Kate, anytime.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
That's wrong. That is on so many levels. Like, we were going to talk FA Cup, but I'm going to drop that because I'm just looking at the time. So we're going to come back, and we will just, when we come back, we will have, viewers' questions, basically.
It didn't happen in 49, 61, 63 or 69 when they reached the final. But the class of 2021 have delivered. Leicester City are FA Cup winners at last.
Leicester Till I Die TV, home of the FA Cup winners.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes!
Okay, so let's have a look. And we've got all the questions now that we're going to have. So no more questions, please. Or you can put them in, but we certainly won't get into them. I've got another show at 9, believe it or not.
Oh, sorry.
First question was from Scott here. It's a very good question. I'll throw this one at you, first of all, Kate. And I'll probably alternate between. Do you think we will have a fire sale?
No. I'd rather take the 6-point hit, and I think the club would as well. If we're going to get deducted 6 points next year, I'd rather take the 6-point hit and keep the likes of KDH, Winks and all of that. So I don't think there'll be a fire sale, no. I think you've just got to hedge your bets.
But is that already decided whether we sell now or not? It's too late, isn't it? Because it's on the past 3 years.
I thought we were having the opportunity to generate some sales. In this summer, who knows? Who bloody knows? Do you know what? We can put it in the basket with the person that makes the offside rule, because they ain't got a clue either.
No. Room 101. No.
I'll throw this one at you, Dave. Players more bothered about new contracts or new clubs than wanting to put a performance in. Not all players, but maybe some, not got their heart for it now.
That would be disappointing. I get Scott's point, but that would be disappointing because there's such a lot to play for. And if we get promoted, these guys are in a team that can shine. I don't know how long Wilf came on for on Saturday, Kate. I only saw a little bit of
it. I think it was hard.
Yeah, he looked a bit sluggish, but that was only the bit I saw.
He was going about his business very gingerly for a while. I don't think he's quite feeling
Who is that.
That
sorry,
well,
I don't think he
came on at half time. He came on for the second
half time, is it?
Yeah.
Is Pratt go off in? No, who did he come on for? I can't remember.
Can't remember now. You're making me read my notes, aren't you?
Sorry, mate.
I think it was Eunice.
Oh, it was. Yes, it was. Eunice. Yeah.
Because he could be injured now, couldn't he?
Well, really? This is the problem at this time of year. Now, other teams are going to have injury problems. Mm. We just don't seem to be, obviously, not checking up on them, so we don't know.
Yeah.
I hope you're wrong, Scott, because I think it's such an important time for player and club. I would have hoped that if players want a new contract or they want to move, they'll put an effort in, because this is a time when their mentality will be questioned by any club that wants to sign them. And included the Leicester management, who want to give them new contracts.
Yeah.
And if they're not doing... I mean, you look at last year, Maddison was going to have to go anyway because his attitude towards the end was despair and, you know, what am I doing here? And the same went for... It was. When you saw him play, I mean, he was playing out of position. He didn't want to play in that position. And towards the end, he knew it was all over. No matter what he says... You could tell him from his body language on the pitch. And one or two other players were the same. So it's inevitable. Harvey Barnes was similar. You knew he was going. you know, and that's just the way it is. Because Leicester, if Leicester went down, they'd move on, no matter what they look like. But now we're talking about players in the Championship trying to maybe impress teams in the Premier League. Mm. So the only way they're going to do it, or even overseas, is put performance in.
I'm going to ask a question from me now, Kate, to you. I'm going to sit in the viewer's chair and ask you a question for you, Kate. So I'm going to alternate the questions. Fatu, if we go up, we've got to buy him. If we don't go up for any reason, do we lose out on him? Will somebody come in and get him? Or I mean, hopefully we'll still go in for him.
I'd like to think we'd still go in for him, and I'd like to think that he would choose us simply because he's absolutely loved his time here. But money talks, doesn't it? So it depends what's on offer on the table, really. Yeah. I'd like to think that he would stay. I think he looks like he's absolutely loving life here. Remember, he's only 19 as well. He's a young, really young lad. And he seems to be learning every game and just loving being part of this team. He's got a lot of support there, a lot of fellow African nations as well, which I think probably makes him feel more comfortable on the pitch as well, like the likes of Ndidi, who he can follow, you know, and Daka does really well for Zambia. Like, he seems to be, him and Wilf, I've seen a video of him and Nacho dancing on the bus on the way back from Sunderland. So I think he's really enjoying his time here, which matters a lot to him. So yeah, I'd love to think that we go in for him, but money talks at the end of the day, and his agent will probably have something to say about it.
I'm sure. Dave, John asks, is Enzo feeling the pressure?
He must be a little bit, but I don't think A, he'll show it, or B, it'll affect him. Don't forget, although he wasn't the boss, he was second in command at Man City, and that's pressure. But this is a new job to him. He's been given at least 2 years, hasn't he, to get us promoted. It wasn't intended that we come back straight away. So he's well ahead of his target. So from a personal part, apart from the pride factor and the deflation we'd all feel if we didn't get promoted now, I think he's, you know, he's achieved what was expected of him. Mm. So really, I think he's probably been around too long. He's only young, I know, but he's been around, and he's been at the top as well, albeit underneath.
Kate Scott says, we will be able to afford Enzo and staff if we didn't go back up.
Well, I'd like to think that that's already been thought about. We'd be very naive and stupid to think you've not factored in his contract if we don't get promoted. So I'd like to think that we can afford Enzo based on the position that we're in now, which is Championship football. So
I think we took him on as a Championship club, didn't we?
Yeah, and I presume if he gets promoted, he's going to get probably a fancy gold watch, probably a blue BMW i8, and all the rest of the trimmings that
they're
come
not,
from.
They're not all they're cracked up to be, Kate.
No, no.
I mean, it doesn't come with a chauffeur, does it, Dave?
But yeah, you're looked after. You don't hear any manager slag off the way that we've treated people at our club. So he'll be very well looked after.
Yeah.
He's had three bed and breakfast, bed and board at the Seagrave for God knows how long.
Free of charge, yeah.
I know. And yeah, it's not a bad place to live, that, is it?
Oh, it's an absolute dream. Beautiful. Yeah.
Dave, over to you for this one, and then we've got one more, then we'll wrap it up. John says, question for later, well, for now, is Mavadidi turning into a Barnes, and no matter how badly he plays, Enzo won't take him out?
I think Mavadidi channels back. I think he helps his defenders. That's the difference.
Yes, he does.
I think Enzo wouldn't hesitate to drop him if he felt it would help, or it was the right thing to do.
I don't think he's been bad, unfortunately. I think he's just had two players on him by most.
He needs to deal with that, because that's going to happen in the Premier League as well. So yeah, he needs to be able to counter that. And I think he perhaps needs a bit more support as well. But as you say, 7 months into it, that's all, you know.
And only Ferguson, one real window, wasn't it? Only one real transfer window.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ferguson couldn't build a team in 7 months. He nearly got sacked after, January.
God managed to build all this lot in 6 days. I mean, what, indeed, you know? Come on. He's not the Messiah, and there is a very naughty boy. Kate, we'll end with this one. We'll end with Kate. I don't know whether that sounds right or not, and I've just lost the question, so just bear with me.
I've got a question for Kate. What are you doing tomorrow night?
Whatever you're doing, Dave.
Hey, I'll send my chauffeur around for you.
Yes. By the way, Fatou could make a good right back. That's another discussion. He was so good defensively on Saturday. Look at Chris getting jealous. He's getting jealous.
No way. A bit closer. Yeah. I mean, that's the good thing with them, isn't it? They both track back either side and they work hard. Hello, Chris. They work hard for the team, and that's what didn't happen.
Edited, don't you?
That's what didn't happen in the old days. They didn't. Yeah. Barnes wasn't interested.
What's Scott's question? Would the panel rather put money in the club to generate the interest?
This will be the last question. Before you get to that, Kate, I just want to very quickly say one of our, if not our best defender of the weekend was actually Fatawu for me. He was getting that. But Kate, to end on this, would the panel rather put the money in the club to generate the infrastructure to the club with the knowledge of getting a points deduction for the benefit of the long-term future?
I think that's exactly what will happen. I think you've got to speculate to accumulate, and sometimes you've just got to take that hit. I just can't see the point of selling some really important assets in terms of players and jeopardising the next couple of seasons just for the sake of 6 points, whether that's the 6 points that seals our fate down to the championship or not.
Yeah. Dave's gone. Just want to say hi to Rich. What is the points deduction? Well, we'd play it back. Play it back.
We actually don't know, Rich, to be honest.
Neil, Ipswich fan in peace. In peace, but in late. I'm sorry, so sorry, Neil. We are just rounding this up. We are going to be back. We're back at 9 o'clock tonight, but we're also back on Thursday at 8:30. Pop in and we'll have a chat. Kate and Dave, thank you so very much. I did disappear because I did feel, like I say, like a gooseberry. But it's, you know, Dave, can I just say,
of course you can.
You know, you had the pleasure of meeting royalty.
Tonight.
last week. I mean, you and Kate, this isn't like Andrew and what she called, is it, from American Girl?
No, certainly not. A bit more subtle than that.
Plus that makes you, you know who, Chris. Bloody hell.
Sorry, what, sorry?
That makes you know who. Bloody Epstein.
Yeah.
This is a bit embarrassing now. We'll move on.
not Brian. Anyway, Kate's mum and dad probably watching, so hi.
Yes. And the divorce hasn't gone through yet, Dave.
Well, she's left me, so I know where she is.
Don't blame her. Yeah, your flat looks like a scene out of Dexter. I had to get her to message me the other day to say that she was all right. I'm sorry, can you just say apologise to Kathy, please, Dave, that I put her off her cornflakes the other morning?
Yeah, it was porridge. I hate porridge anyway. It's not nice.
I wasn't talking about the nicest thing, but it's what's in the papers. Kate, thank you so very, very much. Dave, thank you very, very much as well.
See you both.
Dave's got to go off to bed because he's up at 7 in the morning. So thanks very much, all. And Kate, are you going to Chelsea?
I am really excited.
Hey. I don't know yet whether I'm going to be doing a watch along. So I will be in touch because I may actually, because it's a quarter final of the FA Cup, I may actually be spending some time and watching it with my son. So I will let you know what is going on. But
and it's on the BBC.
It is.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. You notice we go that way, Kate goes the other way. I am Kate's backslash to her forward slash, though, by the way. So I don't want to get jealous, Dave.
I go both ways, so it's fine.
Well, I had heard. The rumours have been swirling around the radio station for quite a while, Dave.
He obviously feels this is a safe space to talk about it.
Yeah, so you do need to clean that graffiti off the gents' toilets. All right, just give me a heads up. Oh, God, I'm going to be busy tomorrow editing all this out, aren't I?
Right.
Guys, thank you very, very much. And
I'm going to get me chops now.
We'll do it all again next week. When hopefully we're into the semi-finals of the FA Cup.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Dave loves a semi, I've heard, so that's all right.
Mr. and Mrs. Blakey, will you please look? Well, no, it's not Mrs. Blakey, but you know what I mean. Mr. and Mrs. Blakey, will you please take your daughter in hand? I know Dave wants to, but will you please take her in hand and sort her out? She's spent too. Well, I think we need to give her some time off.
I've got a week off now.
Oh, good.
Anyway,
good night from me.
Good night from me. Good night from them too. Thanks very much, guys. See you later.
All right, take care.
Be good.
Bye bye.
Bye, kids.
Kids, how old is that, mate, Davey? So it's all change here. 9 o'clock. I'm going to be back with Craig from up the cherries and all departments. We will be looking at this week's championship games and going through them and just having a chat about them. That's at 9 o'clock on this channel. Please feel free to join us and join in the chat. All you've got to do is subscribe and then you can chat away to us. But you do have to be a subscriber to chat. Don't forget to press the likes for the video as well. We will then be back on Thursday, a bit later than normal, to fit in with everything. But with Chelsea Fancast, we'll be looking ahead to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. It does sound good when we say that, doesn't it? And then Friday at 7 o'clock, it's all new prediction show with our Brad and his new regular co-host, Carl, who's a Leeds fan. This could get interesting. But he is our favourite Leeds fan. We like Carl. He's a good friend of the channel. And he will be joining Brad 7 o'clock on Friday for the prediction show. I may or may not be doing a watch-along. It depends whether my son is going away or not, to be honest with you. So I haven't decided. And if he stays, he doesn't know. Well, it's all confusing. So I may or may not be doing a watch-along. Keep out. Subscribe and click that notification bell. That's what you need to do, because then if you do that, if I do upload a show, you'll get notified. Simple, isn't it? And if you like to, if you do like the outtakes that we do, click onto that one there, which is TikTok, and that will you'll see all our outtakes and things that go wrong and what have you. And there is our Instagram. If you are an Insta person, just scan them on your mobile phone and you'll get into us. I'll see you at 9 o'clock. Thanks to everybody that's been listening on there on your favourite podcast station. And thank you to everybody that's been in and joining in with the chat. I will see you at 9 o'clock. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care now. Press the right button.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.